all the farms, nobody wants trees in their pastures. I mean, that's what I thought when I first started. You know, the producers have been working for 30 generations to clear those trees.
John Fike, associate professor of crop and soil environmental sciences at Virginia Tech, and his grad student Gabe Pent have been testing their hypothesis for the last three summers.
We've got a control system. It's our open pasture without any trees at all, just kind of a conventional system. And then we've got these civil pastures, which are these integrated systems where we have trees growing with the forages.
Silva, the Latin for forest, sounds like the opposite of the word pasture, but together they recall practices farmers used for centuries before chemical fertilizer and easy tree removal created wide open spaces for grazing.
So we've got two different types of civil pastures, the black walnut and the honey locust.
If their shade were a fence, it couldn't do a better job of holding these lambs in place. They lie on the ground in tree canopy-shaped clusters.
If they have shade, they stay in it, and so they move with it very closely. You see those animals on the edge, the sun's moving, and they're starting to come into the sun. In about 5 minutes, they're going to get up, and they're going to move deeper into the shade.
Trail cameras follow the sheep's movement, documenting that shade-seeking behavior. And to see how it correlates with grazing, they've given each sheep a microphone.
So that's recording them, and the idea is that when grass is ripped during a prehension or an intake event, a quick high-frequency sound is produced.
And sure enough, sheep graze longer in the shaded pastures, kind of like the way we might sit longer at a table that's not right in the sun on a hot day. This study did show that the shaded sheep gained about a third more weight than the control group.
So you get the same animal product and you get these trees. So out of these black walnut trees, we're getting timber in the long term, but we're also getting annual nut production. And those can be used for different purposes, feeding to animals or just selling meat from the nuts.
So if creating more silvo pastures could add up to bigger profits for farmers, Professor Fike suggests there are other benefits to the whole concept of grazing animals among the trees that may not be as simple to put a value on.
So sometimes we don't have good ways to valorize the things that we see, you know? How do I put the value on my being able to work in the shade? How do I put the value on being able to listen to these birds while I'm out here working? I can't necessarily get paid for reduced rates of speed of rainfall drops hitting the ground and what that might mean in terms of reduced soil erosion or those sorts of things. So there are a number of benefits that society or I as an individual might reap that I can't necessarily put a dollar value on.
Benefits that had been lost, say Fike and Pent, as modern farming methods replaced traditional practices.
This might have been a more natural system in the southeast when we had fires and large ungulates, bison even in the Piedmont Prairie, who would come through and tear up trees but also leave a few trees here and there. And so this savanna-like system is actually probably more natural from an ecosystem perspective. So I think, yeah, we're starting to realize, we're looking at some of the pollen records and some old texts from the first explorers, that this is actually how nature prefers to be. And so we're kind of looking back at nature and seeing how she prefers to do it and trying to see how science can interpret that.
I'm Robbie Harris.